He will miss the rest of the regular season, but could return for the postseason.
Hey, Tide fans, looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders, best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray Sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary. This is the Stingray Show, and Auburn and Baylor kick off toe meets leather at the end of this edition of the Stingray Show at 7 p.m. this evening, and it is a huge game for Hugh Freeze and the Auburn Tigers. Looking at this matchup, this is the first meeting between Baylor and Auburn since 1976 and the first true opener road game for Auburn since way back in 2003 when they went out to USC. How will Auburn do tonight against Baylor and Waco? We're about to be joined by a beat writer for Auburn and Baylor to do a deep dive into this matchup that begins this evening between Auburn and Baylor.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Heath, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby.
And with that, we want to welcome you inside the Auburn and Baylor preview show as Hugh Freeze enters his third season down on the plains. And the good news is that he has a new quarterback to work with, because last year and the year before, Peyton Thorne out of the transfer portal did not work out for Hugh Freeze and Auburn, and they struggled to say the least.
You know, there's got to be a backstory there. I think we were all shocked when Peyton Thorne was kept around for the second year.
Yeah.
And I was like, one of two things are happening. Either he really believes in Peyton Thorne and he's about to get it, and everything's about to click, or the Auburn boosters just didn't pony up the money to get him a quarterback out of the portal. I mean, right. And maybe it was just because, and I don't know, Stephen, maybe Auburn didn't completely understand that you got to be a big time bidder in the portal to make things happen and promise the world this and that. So either or, well, I'm not worried about it today, because today is about football and Peyton Thorne's old news.
Yeah.
And here we are. I saw Peyton Thorne got cut by an NFL team. He didn't make the 53-man roster. I forgot who he was with, but I saw that just the other day.
So in comes Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma, who had an up and down roller coaster season last year. He transfers to Auburn, and buddy, he has an interesting game. First up for Auburn at Baylor. And to do a deep dive into Auburn, we're about to be joined by Kyle Rush, who is a part of The Barn, who covers Auburn. Kyle, how are things with you right here just a little bit before the Auburn season kicks off on the road at Waco, Texas versus Baylor?
We back, baby. We're back. It feels good. It's going to be real football. Not talking about football. We get to actually see the game and experience it, and I can't wait. It's a huge game tonight for Auburn. I call it. I don't think I'm being dramatic when I say this. I think it's the most important opener for Auburn maybe ever, as far as all the storylines go. After the first two seasons under Hugh Freeze, all the talent you've built up until this point in time, I don't think it's a stretch to say this is probably the most important opener maybe in Auburn football history.
Cal, very quickly, we're going to touch on this and move on. What did you know about that whole Peyton Thorne year two transfer portal? No one came in. We're stuck with this guy again. What was the whole story on that?
Yeah, so it was kind of a catch-22. What's the decision to make? It's always was going to be year three. So we can overspend on a quarterback in year two, or we can spend on building the pieces around who we have. It's a different offensive system because Hugh's like, I'm taking over play calling. So in my mind, that's going to fix a lot of the issues. Let's build around Peyton. Those guys will still be there for the next year. And then if we want to go really big in the portal, it makes a lot more financial sense, I guess, when you don't have to spend on so many pieces. Auburn was still having to spend on so many pieces to rebuild this roster to what is now a top 10 team as far as the blue chip ratio goes. So I think it was just the decision was, should we overspend now? Knowing that year two is not ever going to be the year that Auburn, contends as a contender, or do we kind of get more of the pieces in place so that we can overspend or we can spend high going into year three and actually try to make a run? I don't think they predicted 5 wins last year,
right?
And I don't think the team was probably bad enough to get to 5 wins last year. I think it was probably an 8-win ceiling team last year that just had everything possibly go wrong. So I that's just my take on it. I think that's probably pretty accurate, though.
Kyle, going into this season, what must Jackson Arnold do differently in that offense so he doesn't end up like Peyton Thorne?
It's a great question. So I appreciate Peyton Thorne for everything he did at Auburn, but to me, where he would get in trouble was whenever he tried to do more than what he had to do. When he tried to do more than just Bo Wallace, a former Hugh Freeze quarterback, says, all you got to get is 4 yards. 4 yards is the goal, okay? 4 yards per play. Every play doesn't have to be a touchdown.
Right.
Right decision to get 4 yards. You're going to keep the chains moving. And Hugh mentioned something similar to this. He was talking about wide receivers, but I think it goes across the whole offense, and this was in his Monday press conference this week. He said, do what the play tells you to do. Don't go out and try to create something on the fly. And I think that's a big mindset to have, that if you just go out and do what the play says to do, then it's on me, then it's on us from there. So go execute and don't have to make home runs. And I think that's the big thing with Jackson. Hey, don't feel the pressure to have to score every play. Let's just keep the chains moving. You got really good legs. Do whatever you got to do. Let's keep the chains moving, run the plays as called, and take advantage of all these playmakers that you have. So I think getting him going early, getting some drive starting passes, and you know, he's really excels in the RPO game. Doing that will really help build, I think, that confidence and heal some of the scar tissue he probably has from last year and the awful, you know, unfortunate situation that he was in at Oklahoma.
I think that's
kind of got to be the game plan with Jackson.
So we are up against our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to quit talking about the past and focus on the present, because we are inching closer and closer to game time between Auburn and Baylor. We will spend the next segment breaking this game down from the Auburn perspective. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. The Auburn and Baylor preview show shall continue right after after this. Residents of Tuscaloosa, are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Hagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. It's dinner time, West Alabama, and if you are craving fried catfish with tartar sauce on a grilled bun, or maybe even a fried chicken tender with Swiss cheese, grilled onions, and an avocado spread on French bread, that sandwich is called the Jose, then you need to check out the Coker Market, which is located at the four-way intersection just off County Road 140 in Coker, Alabama. Their hours of operation is Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Go by and check out the Coker Market off of County Road 140 there in Coker, Alabama, for community goods and wonderful barbecue. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. You're traveling east on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway. It's a 14-minute drive. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's an 8-minute drive. Watch for continuing road work on McWrights Ferry Road. It's being extended down to Rice Mine Road and construction on Skyland Boulevard between I-359 and Buttermilk Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Welcome back, SEC fans. College football is back. It is here. We got a great game tonight we're all looking forward to. About to kick off here very shortly. I'm Heath Hopkins. Along with me is Stingray always here on the Stingray Show. Our very special guest, Kyle Rush, who covers Auburn. And we're talking about Auburn and the Baylor matchup tonight. Kyle, going into this game, Jackson Arnold, he's been a huge focal point. Talk about this whole offseason. We've heard great things. We've heard not so great things. We've heard inconsistent things. Coming into this game, the last couple of days, what have you, the past week, this past practice week, what have you heard specifically about Jackson Arnold?
Yeah, sure. So Jackson, when they're in the quick, when they're running the quick game and they're running tempo, that seems to be his comfort zone. Number one, I got the option to hand it off to the running back. I got the option to read the defense. And when this particular defender is not doing what he's supposed to be doing, I got an easy pitch and catch. The short stuff, the quick game seems to be he's extremely confident in. From the last couple of practices, it seems like, and really all fall camp, it's whenever you get into those scenarios when you have to drop back and read the defense, those true drop back passes where there's no RPO, there's no play action. It's just drop back, read the defense, and get the ball out. That's where I don't want to say it's uneasy, but it's just that's probably the part where he has the least amount of confidence. And I think he will rely on his legs. Or at least during fall camp, he's relied on his legs a little bit more than maybe Hugh Freeze would like. And I think Hugh actually mentioned that Monday. So I think that's going to be the interesting part. I do think his legs are like having another check down. I think he's an above average to just under elite runner from the quarterback position. You know, you can have check downs to the running backs, tight ends, whatnot, but I think his ability to run is almost like another check down. So when Auburn gets into those third and longs, that's where I'm going to be interested to see the development of him from last year to this year. Now, when you're in fall camp, you're going up against your own defense and you're not really game planning for your defense. You're working on you in the fall camp, and the defense, for the most part, knows your playbook. Yeah. So it makes things a little bit tougher. And I think Auburn has a really deep and talented and athletic pass rush. You got Keldrick Faulk that's mock drafting top 10 in the NFL draft next year. You got Keyron Crawford, who was having a great year at the end of the year, getting after the quarterback. So it's not like it's easy. And then talk about the defensive backfield, which I think when you talk about position groups, there's an argument that the defensive backfield is more talented than the wide receivers. And you know, wide receivers get all the hype. So it's not like he's going up against just a pushover all fall. So whenever they would get in those drop back situations, that was whenever he was the least confident. And I'm going to be very interested to see how they remedy that, or what it looks like when the lights come on and maybe you're not facing a potential top 25 defense. You know, Baylor was, I think, somewhere around between 80s and 100s last year. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
All right. So you deal with Auburn fans a lot with your message boards and all that. Talk about the hype of the Auburn fans going into this opening game tonight with Baylor, please.
Man, I think it's split right down the middle with people that are excited for the game and people that are absolutely terrified. That's why I think this is a very important opener, because I think whatever way the game plays out, win or lose, it can go. If Auburn loses, I think it's going to be 0 to 100 of toxicity.
Right.
And then I think if Auburn were to win and prove, which that's what a lot of people want, hey, show me. I've been excited for a while. I want to actually see it. If Auburn were to win and win convincingly, I think it can go just as fast as it went toxic. I think it can go just as fast the other way as super positive. Also, winning this game buys you, I think, a little bit of grace early in the season. So you win this game, you got two kind of gimme games, which, I mean, over the past 2 years, no game has been a gimme, but you would think Auburn could handle Ball State and South Alabama.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But then you go on the road for two tough SEC games, Oklahoma and Texas A&M. If you win this game, I think you could afford to split one of those.
Mm-hmm.
You lose this game, and then you don't get past Oklahoma. Boy, it's going to be at boiling levels of just unhappiness, I think. So I think the fan base is, for the most part, right down the middle. I think most are very excited, and I think some are cautiously optimistic terrified about what could happen. So, hopefully it comes out well, because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
But if it doesn't, it could get ugly and get ugly quickly.
Kyle, what is the biggest concern, just on the offensive side, the biggest concern that you got coming into this?
Yeah, my concern is, what does Auburn do in short yardage situations, because you don't really have that proven chain mover at running back. So there's a lot of options that you could go with. I think they don't really separate themselves a lot from each other. I think you got a lot of really good, talented kids at running back. Just nobody that's really separated themselves as saying, I'm that dog. Give me the ball on third and short. Do they try to give it to the running back? Do they run it with Jackson? Do, God forbid, we go with some type of wildcat package? I never want to see the wildcat again as long as I live. I think third and short, who's going to carry the ball is my biggest concern. How do you keep the chains moving at running back?
So how do you see the game playing out for Auburn there this evening in Waco, Texas versus Baylor, because I would argue both teams need it to really jumpstart their season, because I would argue that Dave Aranda is on the hot seat there in the Big 12 as well as Hugh Freeze.
I think that's fair. I do think, though, he probably has a better chance. This is going to be the toughest game, I think, from a talent perspective that he faces maybe throughout his whole schedule. Arizona State will be pretty good, too. I think they play them week three or week four. How do I see it playing out? Look, there's no question, in my opinion, and I don't think it's really an opinion. I think it's factual. I don't think there's anybody at Baylor right now that would start at any position other than maybe quarterback. Maybe Sawyer Robertson could start at Auburn. Auburn just has the better roster, and they have the better roster in the trenches. So if Auburn can limit mistakes, Auburn has got the kicking situation, which is still a question mark. Will Alex McPherson be able to go or not? Has they got the kicking situation figured out? Can they limit mistakes? And then can Hugh get it done? Can Hugh get it done? I think that's to me the big questions. But as far as a talent perspective goes, Auburn's roster is just better. So they should be able to go in there, and I think should be able to go in there and handle it by at least two scores. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's what it should be. There's no reason for it not to play out that way. This roster is just too good.
Kyle, you mentioned the name Sawyer Robertson. Originally signed with Mississippi State, he was born and bred an air raid quarterback. His parents made sure he went to a school that ran the air raid. He wanted to sign with Mike Leach. He heard all these stories growing up in Lubbock, Texas about Mike Leach. Mike Leach passes. He gets in the transfer portal. He ends up at Baylor. He has been very successful there. What can you tell us about the defense scheming against Sawyer Robertson, who's going to have a trigger finger? He is a gunslinger out there. He loves to throw it. He's throw it short, behind, deep, anywhere. He's got great arm talent. What is the Auburn defense going to do with Sawyer Robertson?
It really depends a lot on what Baylor decides to do from an offensive game plan. So against LSU in their bowl game, I think LSU was only able to get to him one time because he was getting the ball out. He threw 51 passes in that game. If I'm Baylor, that's the game plan I think I'm taking into this Auburn, against this Auburn defense. I think I want to do everything I can to not let them utilize their athleticism in the trenches. I want to get the ball out quick. And if that were to happen, I think Auburn's just got to play aggressive, but play a bend, don't break. And eventually, I mean, make them go 15 plays. If that's what happened, the odds are a college offense eventually is going to have a false start, going to have a hold, going to drop a pass, something like that. I think that's probably the best thing that you do. Now, if they want to come out gunslinging, you pin your ears back and you use your athletes that you have, and you just win your one-on-one battles and pressure Sawyer into making bad decisions. Now, that doesn't happen very often. He's a really good player. Depending on which way they go, I kind of feel like they're going to go to that more quick passing game, maybe look a little bit more like an air raid team, like you mentioned. I think that would be the wise thing to do. And then can you keep everything in front of you? Keep everything in front of you and just make Baylor make a mistake. Make them drive the field on you. Don't give up the big plays. And I think that's going to be the goal. And I tell you what, get off the field on third down. That seemed to be, if you could have one criticism of Auburn's defense last year that kept them, in my opinion, in every game, one thing, if you wanted to point to, is being able to get off the field on third down. Get off the daggum field. Get after the quarterback and make a play on third and long and get off the field. I think that's key.
Kyle, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to join us. If you would, as we walk out the door, give us your prediction on how you think Auburn is going to finish up this season after coming off of a 5-7 record last year.
I'd be ecstatic. I think 9-3 is kind of what I'm looking at. If they get the win tonight, I think 9-3 is a very real possibility. There's a chance for, you know, maybe 10 wins. 10 wins is probably the ceiling, but 9-3 seems to be where I'm falling at this point in time. Now, they lose this game, and who knows?
Right. Thank you. Go and enjoy covering the game in Waco between Auburn and Baylor. And we will definitely catch up with you later on to continue to talk about the War Eagles of Auburn.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Take care, Kyle.
Okay, so that is going to wrap up the Auburn side of this matchup. We've got about 30 more minutes before the kickoff of Auburn and Baylor. And when we come back on the other side of this break, we are going to be joined by a Baylor beat writer who comes to us from the Waco Tribune Herald. And he is going to join us to discuss this game from the Baylor side. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, the Auburn and Baylor preview show. Continues right after this. The Labor Day weekend, along with college football, is here. And how does a twin pack of Hormel Boston Butt sound at $2.18 a pound? Or maybe even 16 ounces of all varieties of Kaneka sausage, $6.48. And for the beef lovers out there, USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast, $6.88 a pound. Or maybe even a 20 count of Pure Beef Hamburger Patties for $19.95. These are just some of the deals this week at South's Finest Meats that run through September the 1st. So head on over to South's Finest Meats before the weekend gets here and check out some of these amazing deals at South's Finest Meats. Hey, you looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR. Up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabamaone.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, one together.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Labor Day weekend, along with college football, is here. And how does a twin pack of Hormel Boston Butt sound at $2.18 a pound? Or maybe even 16 ounces of all varieties of Kaneka sausage, $6.48. And for the beef lovers out there, USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast, $6.88 a pound. Or maybe even a 20 count of Pure Beef Hamburger Patties for $19.95. These are just some of the deals this week at South's Finest Meats that run through September the 1st. So head on over to South's Finest Meats before the weekend gets here and check out some of these amazing deals at South's Finest Meats. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We just finished up with the Auburn side of the Auburn and Baylor preview show. Now let's dive into the Baylor Bears, who are coming off of an 8-5 record a year ago, and Dave Aranda is their head coach. And to break this game down from the Baylor Bears perspective, we are about to be joined by a Baylor beat writer for the Waco Tribune Herald, Mr. Zach Smith. Zach, how are things with you in Waco, Texas, just a little bit before kickoff of Auburn and Baylor?
Things are going great. I mean, we have real football to talk about. That's right. We're not talking about practice.
Yeah.
Like, this is football. And yeah, it's good. It's exciting. Like you mentioned, Baylor had a really good year last year, and I think vibes are high. And man, it just, it feels so good to have real football to watch and all of it. So really excited. Thanks for having me.
So if you would go ahead and talk about the hype and the excitement, not only of the college football season there for Baylor, but opening it up against an SEC opponent in Auburn.
I mean, it's huge. Like, Waco is, this is my third year on the beat at Baylor. And so I haven't been around the longest, but from everything that I've gathered and everybody that I've talked to, this is the most hyped game at McLean Stadium, at least pregame, you know, which is, McLean Stadium is 10 years old, 11 years old now, ever. This is the most hyped game at McLean Stadium ever. And I think Baylor last year ended the season in the Texas Bowl with a loss to LSU. They kind of got carved up. You know, there was a lot of talk before that game about how Baylor was excited to face an SEC opponent. And obviously Dave Aranda has his history in the SEC.
Right.
But yeah, Baylor is going all out for this game. They've got black jerseys. It's a blackout. They're having a drone show. They're having a flyover. They brought back chrome helmets for the first time since the Art Briles days when Baylor was throwing it all up and down the yard and scoring a bunch of points. And so, like, Baylor, I have never seen Waco as excited. And even I've never heard of Waco being so excited for, like, leading up to a game. Certainly there have been good games at McLean, and Baylor has had good games. But leading up, man, the hype has reached an all-time high here. And I think that's because of the expectations for Baylor, the expectations for this game. Man, it's just so exciting. It's incredible.
Zach, it sounds like Waco's in a feeding frenzy. Everything is juiced. Everyone's hyped. With that, this Baylor defense, you know, Big 12 defenses get made fun of a lot. What can this Baylor defense do? And Jackson Arnold, coming from Oklahoma to Auburn in the transfer portal, what are they going to throw at him?
Man, everybody says that Dave Aranda is this defensive guru, defensive genius. What he did at LSU was pretty impressive. And so last year, he took over the reins of the defense. He is pretty much the defensive coordinator. He's calling the plays. He's drawing things up. He's doing all this. And so I think you will see a much improved defense from last year. The Bears had definite trouble against, you know, big plays, chunk plays, deep balls, all those things. And I think if you look at Baylor's wide receiver room, it's pretty good. that's going to be, for me, the key matchup is those wide receivers against Baylor's secondary. But like you mentioned, Jackson Arnold, he had some turnover issues at Oklahoma. I know he had, you know, maybe an injured offensive line, some injured receivers. He didn't maybe have his full complement of pieces, but I still think he has some talent. And can he get the ball to those receivers? That's a huge question. Now, this offseason, Baylor, like, they knew that the defense was not up to snuff last year, and they really addressed it. I think of the 21 transfers they brought in, more than half were on the defensive side of the ball. And so they added Travion Barnes, Matthew Fobbs White. Those are two big name transfers coming up from the lower level. Fobbs White from Tulane, Barnes from FIU, where he was the conference player of the year, really to focus on getting a pass rush. And I forgot to mention Amarion Winston, an Oregon transfer. How could I forget him? But they really focused on bringing in players that can improve their pass rush and get more pressure on the quarterback. Because as Dave Aranda said earlier this week, like, if they can get pressure on the quarterback, that helps the back end. That helps the pass rush. That helps the defense overall. And, you know, so I expect this Baylor defense to take a step to be better. Now, Jackson Arnold has plenty of weapons. The Auburn offensive line is, I know rebuilding, but still talented. And so this is a test for Baylor and this defense, and specifically Dave Aranda, to see like all this work they put into the offseason, all of this, you know, perceived change and hopeful improvement, at least on paper. Can they actually bring it to fruition on the field? And man, it doesn't get more challenging than a team like Auburn.
All right. So, Zach, how do you see it playing out just in just a little bit between Auburn and Baylor there in Waco? Break it down for us and who wins.
This is, I'd go back and forth. Like, we have a stack. This is a stacked week one of a bunch of games. And I think there's a few of them that you could probably pretty easily pick a winner. This is not, I have been wrestling in my head a winner all week who I'm going to pick in this game. But I'm going to pick Baylor. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think you're going to go up and down the field a lot.
Yeah.
But I give the advantage to we know what Baylor is. We know Baylor can score a lot of points. And if you think that the defense can take a little bit of a step, I think that's a good thing. And then you add on to the fact that I talked about earlier, the hype around this game in Waco. I know McLean isn't necessarily a hard place to play, or it hasn't been traditionally, but I think this game, you know, it's kind of a new era of Baylor football.
Right.
And I think I give Baylor the edge for being at home. And I just think Dave Aranda needs this game. This if Hugh Freeze loses this game and Auburn loses this game, I can imagine what the conversations are going to be like for Auburn. But if Baylor loses this game, it's a different like conversation. It's more intense, at least here. And so I think Dave Aranda needs this game. Baylor needs this game, and what it would do for that team going forward, I give Baylor the advantage. I think they want it more, right, just from everything that I can tell with Baylor. So give me Baylor. I think it's going to be close, but I think it's going to be very high scoring.
So, Zach, look, man, thank you so much for taking time to join us. Go and enjoy covering Auburn and Baylor because football is back. Good luck to the Baylor Bears this evening, and we will catch up with you later on.
Thanks for having me. Anytime you need me, like I said, I'm going to, after this game, I'm going to sit on my couch all weekend and watch more football. It's the best time of year. So happy to be back.
That makes three of us, brother.
All right. Thank you. All right. So, Heath, that is going to wrap up the Auburn and Baylor preview. However, we've got one segment left, and when we come back on the other side of this break, you and I are going to go over all of the matchups this weekend that are absolutely incredible and give our predictions on those games. If I could talk correctly, that's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back to finish it up talking about all of the incredible matchups of week number one.
Now, let's skip the predictions. Let's arm wrestle.
No.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Drew DeArmond. We'll talk to Martin Houston. We're going to recap Alabama's performance against Florida State. We'll get you ready for another busy weekend. Cable DeBoer talks, and we'll cover it right here starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. You're traveling north on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. It's a 7-minute drive. And also east on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, a 13-minute drive. Crews are continuing work on Skyland Boulevard from I-359 to Buttermilk Road. Also construction on Old Birmingham Highway from 55th Avenue to Kennedy Mill Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hey, Tide fans, looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders? Best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray Sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary. Welcome back inside the final segment of the Stingray Show. And Heath, I've decided that this last segment, you and I are going to do some spitballing about the games that are upcoming tomorrow. And dude, we have an amazing lineup of games starting in the morning with Ohio State and Texas. And of course, both of our alma maters, Mississippi State, on the road at Southern Miss to see how Jeff Lebby is going to do in year number two.
You sure you don't want to arm wrestle?
No.
No. We're all been waiting for college football, and that's all of us are going to do this weekend. Even if you don't like football, you're going to watch college football. So with that, really looking forward to this weekend. Steven, there's always some big games opening weekend. There's a ton of great games this opening weekend, and we've already had an upset. Yep. You know, South Florida beat Boise State. I don't think anybody saw that becoming a blowout.
No.
And look at South Florida trotting out the backup quarterback on the field on that punt. And you know, because people are not familiar with personnel at the beginning of the season. They don't know who it was. So put the punter out there. They put up the backup quarterback, and man, he threw it pretty. As soon as he threw that ball, I was like, that kid played quarterback in high school.
Yeah.
Later, I found out that kid played quarterback in high school, and he plays quarterback in college as well.
Yeah. All right. Now, Heath, getting to a really disappointing note here. Did you happen to see what happened last night for Missouri against Central Arkansas? Sam Horn comes in for a Wildcat play. A Central Arkansas defender dives at his knee, and unfortunately, it does not look good for Sam Horn. We don't have an update officially yet, but he was on crutches and could not put any weight on that knee, and when he did, he grimaced in a ton of pain.
Yeah, and I'd expect them to update us either very late this afternoon, early this evening, or sometime later in the weekend. But, man, Sam Horn, if you're an SEC baseball fan, you know Sam Horn is the best pitcher on that Missouri baseball team. He even got drafted. A lot of people wanted him out of high school, MLB teams. So he's got tremendous talent. He's an athlete no matter what. But was the backup quarterback. He's got to go out there for the first offensive snap, run a little wildcat, gets taken out, looks like he's hurt.
Yeah.
So we might have seen Sam Horn's very last football play ever, and sadly it was that injury.
And Heath, also later in the game, because this, I did not catch this after it was a blowout, the place kicker for Missouri went down as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. But, dude, I knew Missouri would win that game and win that game big. But hanging 60?
Yeah.
Hanging, what was it, 61 total points? But they hung 60 on Central Arkansas. I don't think anyone saw that one coming.
Before we kick off the big time weekend tomorrow, I would like for you to give us a couple of teams that you feel like nationally or the SEC have the most to prove this season, and then I will give you mine.
Well, most to prove, I think, is Penn State. I want everyone to think about Georgia 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, Georgia 10 years ago was a team that was always built up and always hyped up, but they never could make the national championship game nor win it. And even when they did make it, they couldn't win it. And Penn State and Georgia, I think, are identical mirroring programs. Now, Georgia won there in the 80s, won the national title in the 80s. Penn State won some there in the late 70s, early 80s as well. But that was pretty much it. Now, Georgia has come on really hard. Penn State is trying to overcome that. Will they do it this year? I have no idea. Will they do it in the next 10 years? I have no idea. But I'm always going to be watching Penn State from the national scene just because, one, James Franklin teams are always fun to watch. They get after it. They play very edgy and a big chip on their shoulder. And I love that. I always love watching teams that play like that. But are they going to do it? I have no idea.
Heath, I'm going to give you three. Now, we've already known and we've already talked about this to the nth degree, so I'm not going to go more in depth about it. Number three for me is going to be Kalen DeBoer and Alabama, especially with Ty Simpson and him getting Ryan Grubb as his offensive coordinator after last year of 9-4 and losing to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. I feel like that they have a lot to prove this season. Moving on to number two, I'm going to go with, if you don't see what I'm doing, I'm throwing up the new sign of Miami. Last year, Mario Cristobal and Miami went 10-3. Mario Cristobal is in his fourth season down at Miami, and last year they were oh so close to making the ACC championship game, but blew it on the road at Syracuse in the second half of that game after being up pretty big. This is the make it or break second year, in my opinion, for Mario Cristobal down at Miami, and especially with Carson Beck coming in. They've spent a lot of money on him to get a quarterback down there, and Mario Cristobal definitely needs to build on a 10-3 record. And my number one team, Heath, that has got to really show something after last year was the defending Big Ten champions, the Oregon Ducks. They ran through the entire Big Ten unscathed all the way to the playoffs. And then when they got in the playoffs, they had that first round bye and were absolutely destroyed by Ohio State. That was a very bad look for Dan Lanning and Oregon. There is no bigger team that needs to prove that last year was not a fluke than Oregon and Dan Lanning, especially after the way last year ended with a 41-21 loss to Ohio State. We've got about 2 minutes left here on the Stingray Show. Before we get to Saturday's action, we've got a game that is coming up, Toe Meets Leather at 7 p.m. on Fox Sports, Auburn and Baylor. As we walk out the door, Heath, who wins in Waco, Auburn or Baylor? I'm going with War Eagle walking out of Waco with the win.
I think Auburn can take control of this game sometime late in the third quarter and start putting it away.
Yeah.
But if Baylor can get to Jackson Arnold's head, oh, wow. I think Jackson Arnold, I think you can get to his head because we saw that at Oklahoma last year, and I think that's going to be the big beef. We'll have to find out. But if I had to pick right now, I'm going with Auburn. Auburn starts pulling away in the third quarter, and it's more than a two-score game by the end.
All right. So as we walk out the door, Heath, for any of you guys that don't know this, here is a public service announcement. On Sunday at 2 o'clock local time, we have South Carolina versus Virginia Tech. Also on Sunday at 6:30 local time, we have Notre Dame at Miami. And then on Labor Day night, we have TCU taking on the Bill Belichick era at North Carolina. So not only do we have football all day Saturday, two games on Sunday and one on Monday. So a full entire weekend of college football. Cannot wait. Toe is about to meet leather in Waco between Auburn and Baylor. I'm going to go set my TV so that I can watch that game. Heath, we will catch you on the Monday evening edition of the Stingray Show when we will be doing a full recap of week number one. Go and enjoy it. Have a wonderful Labor Day weekend out there. God bless. War Eagle versus Go Bears, Auburn and Baylor right now on Fox Sports.
Steven, we had a blowout last night with Central Arkansas and Missouri. Any SEC team scoring more than Missouri this weekend?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going with the Florida Gators over Long Island. Florida Gators hang more than 61 on them. Just a guess.
With all of the